We started by just talking about the fact that the kind of the mask issue is going away, and in some ways, you know, that's a disadvantage. Suddenly, I have to worry about whether I got something green in my teeth or not, and you know, you've got to figure out, oh, is my breath bad today? You know, with the masks, none of that was a problem. But I'm happy for us to deal with these new problems that we can have. So today, we continue this series where we're asking ourselves how we, by following Jesus' example, do well the task that Jesus commissioned us to do. And that task was to be his witnesses, filled with the Spirit's power to a world around us on a day-to-day basis. Now, we started with the realization that the church in the Western world has not been highly effective at reaching or influencing our community. We've seen our influence wane over the last 50 years. And the basic reason behind that was that Jesus had commissioned us to go into the world with the good news, and we have tended to substitute that commission with, come to us. A message that wasn't part of the Great Commission, really, when you think about it. So we've been doing a lot of talking about how we take advantage of the situation we have been in over the in our world over these last 18 months to initiate a kind of pivot point, a place where we can stop and look at our world and our call and maybe set a new course. That in turn led us to bless this Bless series as a good way, not the only way I'm sure, but a good way to take advantage of this pivot point to rethink and reconsider how it is that God wants us as his people to impact the world around us. Now, we began by admitting the fact that without prayer, we have no way to know where to go or how to go. So 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about how we talk to God. Then last week, Edith helped us see that an important part of prayer is being open and willing to hear God speak. For some of us, that is quite an uncomfortable process because we're used to thinking about prayer as us talking to God rather than stopping talking long enough to hear what God wants to say and respond to us. Today, we move on to another way that Jesus set an example for us as to how we are to carry out the Great Commission. The Bless acrostic that we have been looking at now leads us after the B for be prayerful, to the L, and that is identified as listen. Now, while Edith last week talked about listening to God, the idea we want to look at today is actually listening to other people. Several years ago, I attended a conference and was introduced to a guy. We'll just call him Steve. I wouldn't want to give you his real name. And Steve was a very interesting guy. At first, when you first met Steve, he was impressive. When he met you, he looked you right in the eye, and he started right off asking you questions that made you feel like Steve was really interested in you and wanted you to know you and was someone who could really you could really get to like. You could just tell that. But it wasn't long before something began to sink in about Steve. He was asking questions. He seemed interested. But when you tried to answer one of his questions, it became clear he wasn't listening. In fact, sometimes before you got around to answering a question, he's asking another one. And before you could deal with that one, he's asking another one. He was asking questions. He sounded interested, but as you tried to talk to him, it soon became clear that he was not paying attention to you and was not listening to you at all, what you were saying. By about the second day of this conference, it almost began to be fun to test the limits of his non-listening. It soon became kind of fun to give nonsensical answers to his barrage of questions, and the fun thing was he totally missed it. It was as if someone needed to show him Proverbs 18:2 that says in the NIV, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinion. I even like the way the Message puts this verse. Fools care nothing of thoughtful discourse. All they do is run off at the mouth. You don't know anybody like that, but that's just there in case you have it, yeah. The fact is that you and I live in a world where hardly anybody listens to each other. If you don't think so, just even get on social media and follow a tweet or a Facebook post. It isn't long before people are arguing and poking at other people, taking the comments totally out of context, and even at times steving, simply totally ignoring what was said in order to get their own opinion in. Most people are way more interested in what they have to say than what someone else has to say. The sad reality is, as Ferguson in his blessed book points out, that there's an old saying that often says, the opposite of listening is not speaking, it's waiting to speak. I wish that were not true, but it's sadly too often very true. When we're not talking, we can simply be not really listening, but waiting our turn to speak. By the way, we all do it. It's simply part of the fallen human nature. The reality is becoming a great listener is a lot harder than you think it is. And you need to know that, and one of the hardest things I had to learn, even in marriage, was how to listen. And you need to know that I'm 45 years into this marriage, and I'm still at best a 4 out of 10 on this. And Anna Dawn may not actually give me that high a number, truth be known. It's my self-assessment. In fact, I often feel like that post I saw not long ago in that source of all knowledge and wisdom, Facebook and YouTube. Yeah, but anyway, I saw something the other day that actually made sense, and it was this. I feel like this. It was spoken, could have been spoken by me. It says, "My wife says that I really only have two faults. The first is that I don't listen to her, and I didn't really catch the second one." And actually, when it comes to listening, human nature is such that what happens is, rather than listening to understand, we often tend to jump into fix-it mode. And instead of trying to listen and understand what a person is saying, we're more concerned with giving them two or three options for making whatever the issue is right. It's no coincidence that we're told in James chapter 1, verse 9, "My dear brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." The truth is that most people don't want your expertise or your opinion. They just want your support. They just want to be heard. They want to be known. And they want to know that you care about them. So if you want to love your neighbors and bless the people God has put into your path, you have to become intentional about listening and listening to understand. Now, it's tempting to point at this point to look at Jesus' life as recorded in the Gospels and say, well, hold on, was Jesus a good listener? The answer is yes, but you have to realize that the Gospel writers were much more interested in what Jesus had to say than they were interested in what other people had to say, and it's often reflected in the Gospel record. What we see in the Gospels was that Jesus asked many more questions than he gave answers. To precise, Jesus asks in the New Testament 307 questions. People asked him 183 questions, and he answered 3 of those 183. Asking questions was central to Jesus' life and teaching. We need to stop at this point and say, hold it, whoa. If Jesus asked all these questions, what are we to learn from this? In fact, Jesus asked questions because he wanted to get to the heart of what was going on in people's minds. Asking questions was central to Jesus' life and teachings. And based on the responses, these were not rhetorical questions, but ones that Jesus responded to in powerful ways. In fact, often Jesus answered a question with another question. In Luke 10:25, we're told that a religious scholar asked Jesus the question, "What must I do to receive eternal life?" His answer was the question, "So what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" He answered the man's question with two questions. When Jesus was asked about paying taxes, he refused to get caught in a trap. So instead, he asked a question, and then he responded to their answer, not to the original question. I deeply love the story in Luke 18:35 we had read for us today. Let's look at it again real quickly. It says in Luke 18, Starting verse 35. As they approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. And when he heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was going by. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowds ahead of Jesus tried to hush the man, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. Then Jesus asked the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, let's pause here for a moment. This seems like the most obvious of questions for Jesus to ask. I mean, the man is blind. Of course, wouldn't he want to see? Like, isn't that the obvious question? But you see, Jesus understood something that we often forget, and that is that he knew that maybe it's not always true that the most obvious question is the right one. Sometimes what seems like the most obvious answer or situation or need is not, in fact, the real one at all. And we might never know unless we take a moment to actually ask people and then listen to people's response. It turned out that his request was to see. And Jesus healed the man's blindness. But Jesus was a living example for us of how we are to live. While "what do you want me to do for you" might seem like a silly question, Jesus was not about silly questions. Jesus knew that the man was blind. So why does he ask that? I believe that something is happening here that we could easily miss in a quick read of this passage. This question Jesus asks tells us something profound about his character. It shows that Jesus didn't assume he knew what people needed. And he didn't want you or me, maybe even more important, to assume that we knew what people need either. So he asked questions, and then he listened. Let me give you another example of that. In John chapter 5, we're told of a very similar incident. It's where Jesus talks and then asks what seems like an obvious question to a lame man. Let's look at the passage. So John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9 is where the story is. It starts by saying, "Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays, or Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda." And by the way, if you have different translations, sometimes it says Bethsaida, sometimes Bethesda, sometimes Bethzeda. Several ancient manuscripts differ on the exact name. So if you're following along in your Bible and it doesn't have the same name, it's all right. Anyway, it goes on. "With five covered porches, crowds of sick people, lame, blind, lame, or paralyzed, would lay on its porches. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease he had. One of the men laying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew how long he'd been ill, he asked him, 'Would you like to get well?' 'I can't, sir,' the man said, 'for I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get there, someone else always gets in ahead of me.' Jesus told him, 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk.' Instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his mat and began walking." Now again, as we look at this passage, this seems like a redundant question on Jesus' part. The man is by a pool known for some sort of magical healing properties. From our human perspective, of course he wants to be healed. Why else would he be there? But Jesus saw this situation from a little different perspective. While life as a lame person must have been tough, the fact is that every day someone brings him to the pool. Every day. Somebody else has gotten him his food, has carried him wherever he needed to go, and his task was to simply lay by the pool all day. For most of us, that sounds like retirement. Maybe being healed was not the man's plan, or even from his perspective in his best interests. Suddenly, if he's healed, he has to get a job. He has to get his own food. He has to take care of himself and whatnot. In fact, the very first task in getting healed, Jesus says, "Roll up your bed. Get up and make your bed, clean up after yourself, and get going. No more pool time." So Jesus asks the question. I can just see Jesus stopping and looking deep into the man's eyes as he asked this question. You see, Jesus showed us by his example that if we're really going to be people who care about other people, we need to be sure that we don't decide on the facts or the action before knowing the reality. And the only way to do that is to ask good questions and then listen. You want to bless your neighbors, friends, and family? Imitate the way you listen to them. Imitate Jesus the way you listen to them. Now, it's a challenge. Don't just hear the words they say, but to really listen. Because that's how you really get to know the people in your life. Ultimately, when you take the time to listen and get to know someone, that's when the people around you truly feel loved and blessed. One of the most practical and powerful ways that we can be blessings to other people is simply to listen to them. In this Bless book that we've been looking at, Dave Ferguson tells the following story that illustrates this perfectly. He says, Michael Frost illustrates the power of listening in a story he tells about a missionary group who went to India to serve the poor in a remote village. The group showed up with all sorts of supplies, programs, skilled workers, ready to transform this village into a place of health and vitality. They first went to the people living in a slum and said, hey, we could build a medical clinic to help take care of the hurting and sick in your village. Or we could build a school to provide education so the next generation can work their way out of your obvious poverty. Or we could build a church so you could gather on weekends and learn about God. And then they paused and said, what do you want us to do for you? So far, so good, right? This sounds a lot like the questions that Jesus asked the blind beggar. That's when the people of the village responded with something the missionaries were not at all expecting to hear. What we really need most, they said, is a mailbox. The missionary shot back, a mailbox? We can build you a medical clinic, a school, a church building, and you want your own mailbox? The villagers went on to explain that in India, not having a mailbox means you don't have a zip code. And if you don't have a zip code, that means you do not exist on a map. And if you're not part of a community, and even if you're part of a community of 20,000 people, if you don't have a zip code, you're not recognized. And that means you're ineligible for social services from the government. You don't have an identity. And these villagers wanted an identity to become a recognized part of their own country. Had the missionaries not asked the question and listened, they never would have known that this was the people's greatest need. Now, it may sound simple, but getting this village a mailbox was no small task. It took the missionaries 2 years to work through the bureaucracy to get them registered with a zip code. And once they did, the village began to transform. Sometimes the only way to people's hearts is to listen to their hurts, their needs, and the pain that people have in their lives. Listen to their stories. Discover what they really need. But it has to start by us seeing the people around us the way that Jesus would see them. Real people with joys, pains, losses, and victories. But we never will have the opportunity to really get to know the people around us unless we learn to ask questions and then just listen. When was the last time you asked a single mom who lives near you, how are you doing? No, really, how are you doing? Or stopped what we're doing to give your undivided attention to the person in the cubicle next to you? Or when was the last time you asked a teller in the grocery store who you're just seeing almost as a non-person, how do you pronounce your name? Or took a moment to look into their eyes and ask them, how's your shift going today? Is it busy? When are you over? How's your week been? And what's your days off? How do you relax after this? When was the last time you slowed down enough to listen to the cashier who casually mentioned that their husband was hospitalized? The other day, I was at a lunch meeting, and we asked the waitress, what does that tattoo on your arm mean? And for the next few moments, we got a bit of a life story. It's a little thing, mainly, maybe. But maybe to her, it was the highlight of her day. Somebody actually noticed me. And I got to tell my story in that little 3-minute segment. When I say listen to people, I don't mean just listen to the words that come out of their mouths. I mean, listen to their hearts. When you listen, it's amazing what you can learn. And when you act on what you've learned, it's amazing the difference you can make in people's lives. Brian McGill is credited with telling us one of the most sincere forms of respect is actually listening to what another has to say. Here's the hard part, folks. We don't do this very well. We're already thinking, how are we going to respond? What are we going to say? Could it be that I've got something better to tell them? My story's better than their story. I've got the answer. As we walk through this series, I suspect you're now thinking, okay, Ken, begin with prayer and then listen. I think I was hoping for something a little more action-oriented, something a little more assertive. Just tell me how to make this happen. As an extrovert, I understand that feeling. On the other hand, if you lead more towards the introverted side, you're like, you're going, so good so far, I can do that. I can bless people no problem if this is what's involved. However, don't underestimate the power of beginning with prayer and listening. If there's anything in our world that is lacking is we don't listen to one another. We don't take time to see beyond the words to where people are. And if you and I are going to be people who love God, who want to be Christ to our community, it's going to involve us listening. It's going to involve us asking questions that we actually are interested in hearing. It's going to involve waiting till the person's done talking and then respond to what they say, not what we think they need to hear. And by the way, the remaining blessed practices are much more action-orientated, and so will definitely push you out of your comfort zone at some point. But I promise you, we will never be effective at blessing our world, of taking that blessing that God gave to Abraham and said, you are to be blessed by God so you can bless your world. We're never going to be able to do that if we don't start with prayer and listening. Then we can begin to touch and change our world. So today, we're just going to close in a time of prayer. And sometimes it just means that we need to be praying again. Is there someone near you that you need to ask a good question of? Is there someone that you need to just take a few moments and actually listen? Maybe today's the perfect day to ask God to bring them to mind, to provide an opportunity, to find that lull in the grocery line where you can actually have a conversation. You see, we go through life treating other people as non-entities. We can go through a whole day and we can say, so tell me something about any of the people in our day, and we go, I didn't even notice them. And Jesus didn't live that way. He noticed people. He listened to people. And he blessed them at every turn. That's our task. That's our mission and that's our ministry. Would you pray with me, please, as we bring our service to a close? Lord God, I'm so grateful for the chance we have to follow your example, to find ways to listen to people, to hear not just the words, but their hearts. And Lord, forgive us for the times that we've been blind to people. We've assumed that we knew what they wanted or what they were saying, and we haven't listened. We live in a society of that, and help us, Lord, to break that pattern as your people. Help us to go through this and every day seeing the people around us the way you see them. And allow us, Lord, to bless them by actually listening, hearing them, and loving them the way you would. So now, Lord, dismiss us from this place with your blessing, with your keeping, with your power. We ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Go with God today.